WABC New York and 107.1 WLIR Hampton Bays.
It's the 77 WABC News Hour.
Talking the news with Noah Layden.
All the news you need to know with Joe Nolan, traffic, Justin Ellick, sports, and now.
Talking the news with Noah
on 77 WABC.
That is me, 5 o'clock. Good morning. It is Thursday, March 14th. Your forecast from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center, a sunny spring-like day on the way, high 70. And then tonight and overnight, some showers, low 52. Friday, we'll see some morning clouds, afternoon showers, high 65. If you are walking out the door with us right now, it is 40 and clear in New City up in Rockland County, 44 and clear in Perth Amboy down in New Jersey, and it is 46 and clear outside our Midtown studios. We got a whole lot to get to as we work our way up 6 o'clock hour, Sid and friends in the morning. What is it with body parts and skeletal remains being found everywhere across the tri-state? Of course, we had that wacky story out on Long Island where body parts were spread into parks. Then we had that guy up in the Bronx. They found body parts in his apartment. And now yesterday, I guess New Jersey wanted to be part of this story. And so now they are in Wall Township. They were about to break ground to do some work on a new house on this residential street when they found skeletal remains. This was on Narrowsome Road in Wall Township. And the guy who lives next door to this property says the people who bought that piece of property had come to his house to celebrate the fact that they were about to build a new home.
I happen to be working in my yard. I'm an avid gardener. So they came over with a shovel painted gold. They came with balloons and champagne. So they invited me over to celebrate. So I went over there, had a glass of wine.
And this was Sunday.
This was Sunday. And they said the builder will be here tomorrow starting to dig the foundation.
All right, so Monday comes. They had that celebration with the champagne, the balloons. They're joyful that they're about to build this new family home. And they're about to break ground. They put the shovels in, and all of a sudden, they find these skeletal remains.
I find it very sad. I really do. The one in particular, you could really tell it was bigger. And then the other two were covered, they were all covered by dirt, but the other two, you knew what they were by the shape.
So you can imagine this is the talk of the neighborhood in Wall Township. They're not used to things like that happening there. The authorities who we reached out to wouldn't tell us a whole lot about what these remains are, who they might be. All the neighbors, though, everybody's talking.
I really feel sorry for the couple that are building their dream house, and I feel for the contractors. You know, he expected to be here 3, 4, 5 months building this house.
So it's not clear how long these remains had been buried there. Neighbors say the property had been vacant for years, and they think maybe this was buried a long time ago. They're just really not clear, and everybody's trying to figure it out.
It's probably going to, you know, put it on hold for a while, I would imagine. I'm sure it's going to be a crime scene.
I was hoping that it was a normal burial. You know, people used to bury their dead in their yards, and that's what I was hoping for.
So investigators now looking into the possibility that maybe this was a native burial ground at some time. Anyway, nobody's giving us a lot of details. What they are saying is nobody in Wall Township, or for that matter in New Jersey, are in any sort of danger. That taking place as out on Long Island, the wife of the accused Gilgo Beach serial killer speaking out months after her estranged husband was arrested in connection to the deaths of the so-called Gilgo Four. Asa Ellerup, who filed divorce from Rex Yorman in the days after he was arrested last July, releasing a statement last night through her attorney saying that she still maintains that Rex is not capable of the crime he's accused of. She thinks her estranged husband is innocent. She says she's going to listen to all the evidence, withhold judgment until the end of the trial. She says, I have given him the benefit of the doubt, as we all deserve. Of course, you've been following this story, no doubt. Yorman's been charged in the deaths of four sex workers whose remains were covered up in burlap along a desolate ocean parkway near Gilgo Beach years ago. Ellerup, who was married to Yorman for 27 years, expressing sympathy in the statement last night to the victims and their family, stating that nobody deserves to die in that manner, but she doesn't think her estranged husband is behind this, unless the evidence smacks her in the face earlier this year. Prosecutors releasing just a slew of evidence related to Huerman's case, including travel records showing Huerman's family leaving town during the alleged murders, the suspect's illicit online searches, and investigators' attempt to secure DNA evidence from his daughter. So again, his estranged wife, who apparently has visited him behind bars, now coming out with a statement through their lawyer saying that she thinks there's a good possibility he is not the person behind these crimes. Just an awful story out of East Elmhurst, Queens last night. 8-year-old boy, 10-year-old, crossing the street when a truck hit them. It was a Nissan Titan XE truck making a left turn. This was on 31st Avenue about 4:15 yesterday. The driver, for some reason, accelerated too quickly when making that turn and hit the 8 and 10-year-old. The 8-year-old killed, the 10-year-old in critical condition. It was, of course, a beautiful day yesterday, so there were tons of people on the street. A lot of people witnessed this, and as you might guess, they're just destroyed by it.
She's shocked. She screamed too much. She screamed too much. And the scream for the boys, that's very bad for see everything.
So there was a woman with these two kids. We can only assume it's their mom, but we couldn't get that confirmation before we came to air. The 8-year-old pronounced dead at the scene. His 10-year-old brother taken to Presbyterian Queens Hospital in critical condition. It's not clear if the woman was walking with them was their mother. The thought was that she is, though, by the reaction to this all.
It was a big nightmare. I mean, especially when I saw the mother, I was thinking about the little boy, he lost his life. And also, the brother, probably 10 years, also his life is...
So the 52-year-old driver taken into custody. Cops say there will be charges against him.
Hasty decision that was made way too quickly, and unfortunately that's the reason why we're here.
Yeah, so he just took that turn too quick, too sharp. Not sure what the charges will be. Of course, we'll follow the story. WABC News Time 509. Let's go to Lower Manhattan. The MTA is now going to sue mall giant Westfield after the company has notified them that they intend to end their lease and cease all operations at the Fulton Center in Lower Manhattan. Why are they doing that? They said it's just too dangerous to do business there. Westfield had signed this 20-year lease back in May of 2014, meaning they still have, well, 10 years left on it. They blame crime and the quality of life concerns as their reason for terminating the lease. In response, the MTA is suing the retail management company for breaking the lease. But when you talk to people who work at this mall or who have to walk through it, they'll tell you it is pretty dangerous.
The real problem is homelessness here. I had a lady I had to, like, keep here while an actual man was, like, following her and, like, cursing her out.
Westfield says the MTA not properly maintaining public safety at the transit hub, and the mall giant has told the MTA that multiple tenants have left. They cite break-ins, theft, vandalism. There's video of guys being slapped as they are on the job.
I don't really think it's as bad as the way it's being projected.
I think the general sentiment is a feeling of unease.
Yeah, so workers and subway riders say the biggest concern is the homeless population that congregates at the Fulton Center.
I got harassed in the subway. I just got chased by and screamed down the other day, actually. And so I am a lot more cautious.
And of course, you got the shoplifters, so it's all mixed them in there. And the fact that there was a time when the Fulton Center would have been just packed with people for most of the day, but with so many people working remote now, it's not like it once was. It was a place that was just juiced and filled with people all day. That's not the case now, as lots of people are able to work at least a couple of days from home. 5:11. Let's go down to Washington. The White House calling on the Senate now to pass the TikTok bill, just approved by the House. Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre says the administration wants the Senate to quickly put the bill to a vote.
This bill would not ban apps like TikTok, period. What it would do is to ensure that ownership, as I just stated, of these apps wouldn't be in the hands of those who can't exploit them or to do us harm.
Yeah, so the bill would require TikTok's parent company, this Chinese-owned tech giant, ByteDance, to sell the app with 180 days, or it would be banned from U.S. app stores. Lawmakers are concerned that the Chinese government can access the personal data of millions of Americans. There's about 170 million users, American users, on TikTok. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer has yet to say whether he'll bring the legislation to the floor.
It's going to go through a process. We hope the Senate takes action and takes this up very quickly. And we have said this before on every legislation that's worked in Congress that we're involved in. We provide technical support.
Yeah, and when you talk to New Yorkers about this, boy, they don't want TikTok taken away. I love my TikTok, too. I got to be honest with you. And they, as far as they are concerned, they say, you know what? I don't really know what goes on in Washington, a lot of people say. They raise our taxes. They make underhanded deals. But a lot of these people say they just don't want TikTok taken away.
I say, let's say, yeah, this is f***ing up everybody. We're too engulfed in our phone. Nobody has an attention span anymore.
I don't think they should do that. It's funny. It's, you know, it keeps the people entertained. Like, everyone enjoys sitting on the toilet watching TikTok.
Yeah, okay. Lawmakers both sides of the aisle concern the platform, again, owned by this Chinese company, and that they're getting all this information on Americans.
Yeah, I definitely don't want my information shared. It's way better off for them. You know what? Now that I'm thinking about it, you know what? They should ban it.
I think it's all a security risk. I think they're all tools that could be used in a proper way or an improper way. So it's all up to the person.
For youth, like, a lot of people are creating jobs because of it. Like, they're living through TikTok. So I don't think they should be banned.
I mean, kids love it. People are making money off of it. Why are you taking people's, probably their only income from TikTok?
You know who I have to reach out to? Do you remember Flirty Flipper? If you're somebody who's listened to WABC for a long time, no doubt you know that name. She was the producer of the Sean Hannity show, producer of Bernie and Sid when that show was on. She left the station not that long ago, a number of years ago, and she is a major media influencer on TikTok. She has 2 million followers on TikTok, which is amazing. So I'm going to reach out to her. I'm sure she'll have a lot to say about the possibility, anyway, of a TikTok ban if they're not sold off to an American company. 514 down to Georgia. A judge dismissing some charges against former President Trump in the Georgia election interference case. NBC's news correspondent Blaine Alexander says this is a pretty big development.
And so this is certainly notable because the former president was facing a number of charges, but to have six of them removed is notable. Now, it's important to note he's still facing charges here in Georgia, still facing charges in Fulton County.
Judge Scott McAfee tossing out counts that accused Trump and other defendants of solicitation or a violation of oath by a public officer. The charges related, of course, to the alleged efforts by the defendants to get Georgia legislature members and the Secretary of State to discredit the results of the 2020 election. Other criminal charges against Trump and the defendants still remain this morning. President Biden announcing new investments in infrastructure.
While speaking from the key battleground state of Wisconsin, the president said more than $3 billion in grants will be used across the U.S. to help repair neighborhoods and communities cut off from transportation infrastructure years ago. Biden said highways and rail lines have disproportionately torn through black and low-income communities and displaced residents over the decades. The projects are funded by the president's bipartisan infrastructure law. I'm Brian Shook.
In a moment, we're going to tell you about some more troubles for Republicans in Congress as another congressman is going to walk out to the door. We'll get to that story in a moment. But first, 5:15, let's head over to the 77 WABC Sports Desk. Happy Friday Eve. Good morning, Justin Ellick.
Happy Friday Eve. Good morning to you, Noah Mladen. Starting with the NBA and our Brooklyn Nets in Orlando last night, where Brooklyn fell to the Magic 114-106. Cam Thomas led the Nets with 21 points and 8 rebounds. Mikal Bridges scored all 17 of his points in the second half for Brooklyn, and Dennis Schroeder and Cam Johnson added 13 each, but not enough. Brooklyn falls. Tonight, the Knicks return to the floor on the road in Portland, set to tip off the Trailblazers at 10 p.m. on the ice. No local action last night, but the Rangers, Islanders, and Devils are all back after it. Tonight at 7 p.m., the Islanders will face off the Sabres in Buffalo, while the Rangers simultaneously take on the Lightning in Tampa Bay. Later on, the Devils will drop an 8 p.m. puck in Dallas against the Stars. More transparency here. Gnome trickled in yesterday regarding the status of Yankees ace Garrett Cole. It's all coming in at a snail's pace. Not great news for Yankees fans, but it also could be much worse. Cole will be shut down for at least 1 month, probably 2 to 3, meaning he'll miss opening day and then some. And he's going to visit specialist Dr. Neil Elatrache in Los Angeles for further. I already did visit him yesterday for further testing on his right elbow. By all accounts, the reigning AL Cy Young Award winner is not out of the woods in terms of Tommy John surgery just yet. as we await to hear a hopefully final diagnosis from Dr. Elatraje. But apparently it's not a a good sign when you're visiting Elatraje if you're an athlete.
No.
No. I mean, apparently he's the, who's that old doctor, that guy, the guy used to do the old Tommy Johns, Dr. James Andrews, I think his name was. But he was the guy that if you, if a pitcher had trouble and you saw his name tied to the report, it was probably pretty bad news.
Not
so,
good.
It's not good at all. So Traje is, now that present day name that you don't want to see tied to your, reigning Cy Young Award winner, and ace. And finally, in the NFL yesterday, some offseason rumblings here. The Indianapolis Colts and veteran quarterback Joe Flacco have reached agreement on a one-year deal worth up to $8.7 million. Wide receiver Calvin Ridley is signing a four-year, $92 million contract, including $50 million guaranteed with the Tennessee Titans. The Washington Commanders continue to turn over the NFL's worst statistical defense, adding eight-time Pro Bowl linebacker Bobby Wagner yesterday. It's a one-year deal worth up to $8.5 million. And the Las Vegas Raiders released quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo and former Pro Bowl slot receiver Hunter Renfrow yesterday, first day of the NFL's new league year. So they open up some cap space there. That's your Sports Gnome, and I'm Justin Ellick on 77 WABC.
WABC News Time 520. The Supreme Court extending their ban on a new Texas law that allows local cops to arrest anybody they believe crossed the border illegally. It'll remain on hold until Monday, giving justices more time to review a lawsuit brought by several civil rights groups.
We really hope that does not go into effect because of the havoc that it can wreak on all of our communities.
That's Edna Yang. She's with the American Getaways, which is one of the largest immigration legal service providers in Texas. She fears the law will lead to racial profiling in Texas.
There has been a long history of the federal government being the entity and agency that regulates who can remain in the United States and who can be deported.
So a federal judge shot this bill down last month, calling it unconstitutional.
The law itself conflicts with a lot of federal policy about who can apply for certain types of protection and when deportation can be stayed or stopped.
Yeah, so we may have more information from the Supreme Court come Monday. Colorado Republican Congressman Ken Buck, he's going to resign next week, making him the third Republican Party member to leave office before the end of the 118th Congress.
I think this place is dysfunctional. Instead of having decorum, instead of operating in a professional manner, this place has just devolved into this bickering and nonsense and not really doing the job for the American people.
So the 65-year-old seems to have timed his departure to coincide with Donald Trump capturing the party's nomination. Buck has said he is no Trump fan, but he claims that's not the reason he's leaving. He says he's leaving Congress because nothing gets done in Congress.
It is the worst year of the 9 years and 3 months that I've been in Congress.
With Buck out, House Republicans will have a 218 to 213 majority and three vacancies that'll be filled by special elections before November. Buck has become known for breaking from his party on a number of issues, including his party's 2020 election denialism and some of his colleagues' refusal to condemn the 2021 Capitol riot. Three men facing federal armed charges now in connection to the Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl parade shooting that left one person dead and over 20 injured.
Authorities did not accuse the three suspects of opening fire in the February shooting, but instead say they took part in illegal firearms trafficking and straw purchases of firearms. A straw purchase is the act of buying a gun for someone who is not allowed by law to own one or doesn't want their name involved. I'm Brian Shook.
WABC News Time 522. It is a mess in Haiti. Gangs have taken over. The government can't fight back. Haitians here in New York, of course, worried about loved ones back there. Central Florida Congressman Corey Mills, who took part in rescue missions following the U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan and the October 7th attack on Israel, is planning his third rescue mission, this time to Haiti, where that humanitarian crisis is well underway.
Even in some instances where they are cooking and having cannibalism in the streets that are terrorizing the people who are there, with a complete collapse in government and the prime minister's resignation.
We're hearing from Haitian families here. We're going to hear from more from them as the morning wears on, who say they can't get in contact with loved ones. And when they do get in contact with loved ones, they're afraid to leave their home because if they go out to go get something in the grocery store, they're afraid these gangs will take them out on the way back. This congressman says his primary goal is to keep his constituents in America unsafe. The prime minister in Haiti has resigned. The congressman says there's cannibalism in the street. The gangs have taken over. He wants to see what he can do to help out.
That's the leader of the G9 and family gangs, and he goes by that name because he likes to actually burn and set fire to his victims. Governor DeSantis is actually deploying National Guard and helping to strengthen the manpower for the Coast Guard down in South Florida for this exact reason. But we've been seeing continual increase and influx of Haitians coming across our own southern border. So it's not just in the state of Florida.
Yeah, and my guess is those numbers will rise. The Marines, by the way, have been sent to help out in Haiti. Protesters taking over a chunk of the San Francisco International Airport yesterday, demanding a ceasefire in Gaza. A group called Critical Response arriving at the airport yesterday. They were holding a banner that said, "Stop the World for Gaza." Over 300 protesters outside and inside the airport, making just a mess for people trying to go somewhere yesterday. Some were in front of the TSA security line at the international terminal. Others were blocking a gate. Some were marching in a circle outside the airport to stop traffic. It took a while to get them out and get operations up and running again at San Francisco International yesterday. And that going on is down in Miami, Miami Beach commissioners giving unanimous approval to a resolution directing the administration to regulate and control future protests to the fullest extent permitted by the law. It's a reaction to these two Palestinian demonstrations that have taken place, one outside the Miami Beach Convention Center and another outside a synagogue there.
I do believe that if it was any other group of people other than Jewish people, that these demonstrations would have been handled much differently.
Now, some people in Miami pushing back against this, saying they have the right to march and speak out.
What you are proposing is a police state. That is horrifying. It is unconstitutional.
The mayor saying he does have respect for free speech, but you have to respect the people who are going to a place like a synagogue.
But there's also a reasonable time, place, and manner in which protests and demonstrations can take place.
WABC News Time 525, a California police department taking a cue from professional sports, and now they're going to offer a huge signing bonus to anybody that joins their force.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily call it stealing. I would call it offering an incentive.
That's Officer Pamela Sosa with National City. She says they'll pay an extra $30,000 to jump shift. The incentive is cheaper for National City government to pay than sending a rookie through the academy. So if you get somebody who's already gone through the academy, $30,000 is not a lot of money. So they're hosting this recruiting event at its headquarters. It needs to fill up to 7 open positions. Police forces across the country having the same issue. People either leaving the force or they're not getting new recruits, and they hope this might help.
We're a smaller department, so everybody knows each other. The chief knows you by name, knows your family, knows your kids. We also have various incentives that we do offer, such as like a $30,000 lateral incentive.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see who takes them up on that. The CDC making changes now to its measles vaccination guidance for travelers.
The agency says any American with plans to travel abroad should speak with their doctor at least 6 weeks before their trip if they aren't sure whether they're up to date on their vaccines. The CDC previously advised people to make a doctor's appointment at least 1 month before their trip. This comes as health authorities have asked Americans in recent weeks to get vaccinated before spring break travel. I'm Brian Shook.
You're probably going to like this one. Vermont's independent Senator Bernie Sanders introducing a bill that would establish a 4-day work week in the U.S.
If passed, the bill would lower the threshold required for overtime pay from 40 hours a week to 32 over the course of a 4-year period. The 32-hour work week act would also protect employee wages and benefits to ensure there's no loss in pay. In a press release, Sanders said a 32-hour work week is not a radical idea, adding that American workers are over 400% more productive than they were in the 1940s, and yet millions of Americans are working longer hours for lower wages than they were decades ago. I'm Mark Mayfield.
Remember, there was a time where a 5-day work week was considered radical. A 3-day weekend, that would be kind of sweet. The opening bell, it rings this morning on Wall Street after stocks closed mixed yesterday. At the closing bell, the Dow gained 37 points. S&P 500 fell 9. The NASDAQ dropped 87 points. Coming up today, we'll get data on retail sales as well as the producer price index. Weekly jobless claims are also due out this morning.
Talk Radio 77.
WABC.
It's the 77 WABC News Hour.
Talking the news with Noah Layden.
All the news you need to know with Joe Nolan, Traffic, Justin Ellick, Sports. And now,
Talking the News with Noah
on 77 WABC.
That is me, 533. Good morning. It is Thursday, March 14th. Your forecast from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center. Sunshine today is going to be spring-like, the high 70. And then tonight and overnight, some showers, low 52. Friday, morning clouds, afternoon showers, high 65. If you are walking out the door with us right now, so happy you are. 40 and clear in New City up in Rockland County. 44 and clear in Perth Amboy down in New Jersey. And it is 45 and clear outside our Midtown studios. We'll start this half hour right here in the city where we're finding out more and more that officers are leaving the NYPD in record numbers. It comes at a time when the city says major crimes are down. There are safety and community concerns, of course, across the Big Apple. The PBA, Police Benevolent Association President Patrick Hendry, says cops just don't feel appreciated.
We're short over 7,000 police officers from our highest peaks in the NYPD. We're losing over 200 police officers a month.
The PBA says the NYPD has seen historically high attrition over the past 4 years, with more cops leaving, fewer coming in. According to the city's independent budget office, 2,931 officers either quit or retired last year, with only 2,345 recruits coming in to replace them.
They're walking out the doors because there's no, like, extra incentives to stay on the department.
Yeah, so the data also shows the NYPD is at its lowest headcount since 1990. That's when there was 32,000 cops for a population of over 7 million. Today, there are 33,000 officers tasked with keeping over 8 million people in the five boroughs safe. Whoopi Goldberg, who would have thought that she would be the person speaking out for all of us when it comes to congestion pricing? Governor Kathy Hochul was on The View yesterday, and Whoopi was really angry, saying, hey, why are you doing this congestion pricing thing? It's hurting my friends who don't have the kind of money that I do. It'll be a failure for New York. Here's what it sounded like.
This whole thing, this congestion pricing, I don't understand.
Okay.
Because...
Let's go at it.
Because America... Because New Yorkers did not mess up the streets. We had used to have four-lane avenues. We had ways to get around. You could get... It might have taken a long time because we have big trucks, but you could get around. The idea of having to pay, I'm a lifelong New Yorker, the idea of having to pay to go from point A to point B without really having the conversation, only to see those things go up anyway, it made me feel like nobody was listening. Nobody said, hey, maybe we should not have put all of these bike lanes everywhere. Maybe we should not have gotten
lanes. Yeah, well, so she's right. Nobody is listening. We had the public hearings the last couple weeks about congestion pricing, but those transponders, they were up already, ready to collect money from your license plate when they instituted this thing in June. And she's right. The people have no say, because if the people spoke, they would say they didn't want congestion pricing from everything we've seen. There was another interesting moment with Governor Hochul on The View yesterday. They asked her about the moment when she found out she was going to be governor. If you haven't followed that story, it was Governor Cuomo. She was the lieutenant governor for Governor Cuomo. Governor Cuomo got caught up in this sexual harassment scandal when many of women came forward to say they were harassed by him. So she claims that she only found out that she was going to be governor when the rest of us found out.
Well, I found out with the rest of the nation that I'd be governor. I didn't get any advance warning. We kind of thought something could happen, but I officially learned by watching national television.
Oh, wow.
I immediately went into the next room, went down on my knees, and prayed to God for strength and wisdom.
Wow.
Got up and said, I'm the governor.
I find that story very hard to believe, that she found out the same time we did. I would imagine she had a little more notice, but okay, possibly, maybe that's true. WABC News Time 5:39, just getting this into the newsroom. Pro-Palestinian protesters swarmed the New York Times printing facility in Queens overnight. It's one of the largest facilities in the nation, so some popular newspapers will likely be delivered on a delay this morning. Of course, that would have been a much bigger story 10 or 15 years ago, as most people don't get a physical paper anymore. But police say about 1 a.m. this morning, these protesters prevented trucks from from accessing the 300,000-square-foot building by blocking the road with debris. Many lay down in a chain connecting to each other. They held signs that read, "Stop the presses, Free Palestine." And the facility is responsible for printing not just the New York Times, but they do USA Today, the Wall Street Journal, Newsday, and the New York Post. They were able to get these protesters off the street in an hour or so. There weren't any arrests made, and the trucks did eventually gain access to the building. But I guess some of those people who still get the physical newspaper and those newsstands who rely on those newspapers from business are going to get them a little late this morning. Over on Staten Island, Staten Island University Hospital nurses threatening to go on strike. Nurses like Elaine say they've been haven't been offered the kind of money that's comparable to other New York City hospitals, and they're concerned, as a lot of hospitals are, about understaffing.
When you come into work and you have an overwhelming assignment and you're trying to get every single thing that you possibly can done, it does not translate well into giving the quality care that we want to give.
Union members voted yesterday to overwhelmingly to authorize a strike that could happen when the contract for these 1,300 nurses expires at the end of this month.
We are a borough of New York City, just like everybody else. We pay the same taxes. We do the same work, and we deserve to be compensated fairly for it.
Northwell Health reached out to us responding, saying their goal is to reach an agreement that continues to provide valued nurses with competitive compensation, and they say they're still opening to talking with these nurses before a strike actually happens. Many Haitian Americans, especially Haitian New Yorkers, feeling really helpless, heartbroken, as their beloved country falls deeper into chaos.
Nobody would like to see what happened to Haiti right now. I feel bad. I'm sick. My blood pressure go up. You know, I have to turn off my TV.
Violence has spiked in Haiti over the last month of these powerful gangs who control most of the country's capital, Port-au-Prince. They've raided jails. They've released thousands of prisoners. People just afraid to go into the streets.
There's a war zone going on right now. Girls gain weight by gang members. People are living on the streets. There's no food, no work, no government, and they are scared.
Yeah, these are all people who have family back home that live here in the city. Earlier this week, the country's prime minister, Ariel Henry, agreed to resign. But as the situation on the ground continues to escalate, New Yorkers here trying to figure out what they can do to help their loved ones back home. The hardest things are they can't even get in contact with him in some cases.
For the past 3 weeks, maybe a month, I've been trying to reach out to him, and I wasn't able to reach out to him through Facebook. He haven't been answering his phone, so I'm concerned.
People literally cannot even go out in the supermarket to buy water. There's 50-50 chance they may not make it back in their house.
Yeah, Marines are on the way to see what they can do to help out, but just complete chaos today in Haiti. Over to Long Island at 5:43, parents packing a Franklin Square school board meeting last night. They want answers about why the school principal there is just gone, vanished. Gilbert Tarosian was placed on temporary leave of absence from the Polk Street School in what the school officials called unforeseen circumstances. But parents want to know what happened to him. He's not at school anymore.
I mean, they waited a very long time to tell us that he wasn't in the building. It was close to 3 weeks before we got an email.
Yeah, parents say they don't understand why the principal was suddenly removed. They accuse the school board of keeping them in the dark.
The Board of Education has given us no information on what's going on.
So this meeting packed last night. So the school board, of course, had to respond. The president, Stephen Toto, says there's just limitations on what can be revealed due to state laws. But that doesn't answer a whole lot of questions. Here's what he had to say.
While we understand at times there is a desire to know, we are legally bound to follow the rules of New York State when it comes to employee and student rights, most specifically the right to privacy.
Yes, so we don't know any more about what happened to that principal this morning. The first local team has punched their ticket to the NCAA tournament for only the second time in school history. The Wagner College Seahawks of Staten Island will be dancing next week following their huge upset win over Merrimack in the NEC tournament championship. This is a big deal. Wagner might actually be one of the only local schools, I'm trying to come up with any others, that is going to make it to the NCAA tournament March Madness.
I am beyond proud. Everybody in this room deserves this. You are champions forever. All right? Good job.
That's Wagner's head coach, Donald Copeland, in the locker room following their win. It marks the first time since 2003 that the Seahawks will take part in March Madness. In a moment, let's find out. Now, actually, we'll head over to the 77 WABC Sports desk with Justin Ehlich. Is Wagner going to be the only local school that makes it to March Madness? Like, I can't think of anybody else that would get in right now. St. John's,
I don't think St. John's. No. Seton Hall, no. Seton Hall, no.
Yeah, so they might be it.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I'm not a diehard college basketball guy here, Noam Layden, but on the surface, top of mind right now, yeah, I think you're probably right.
Oh, UConn, they'll make it in.
Yeah,
right?
yeah, but is that really, I mean,
that's pretty far away.
What are we doing here? Yeah, what are we doing here? Come on.
So we got to put our money and our backing to Wagner College.
No, we don't.
The Seahawks of Staten Island.
No, we don't. No,
yeah, sure we do.
Why?
We have the, we're going to have a poll up at WABCRadio.com where you can play the part in March Madness, and I'm going to pick Wagner to go to the Sweet 16.
Okay. All right, well, we know he's going to lose that. Good luck.
We'll see.
Well, I guess but listen, they call it March Madness for a reason, don't
they? That's right.
Right. You're a madman, Noam Layden. Madness. Starting with the NBA here, professional basketball. Brooklyn Nets and Orlando last night. The Nets fell to the Magic, 114-106. Cam Thomas led the Nets with 21 points and 8 rebounds. Mikal Bridges scored all 17 of his points in the second half for Brooklyn. And Dennis Schroeder and Cam Johnson added 13 each, but not enough. The Nets fall. Tonight, the Knicks return to the floor on the road in Portland, set to tip off the Trailblazers at 10 p.m. on the ice. No local action last night, but the Rangers, Islanders, and Devils all back at it tonight at 7 p.m. The Islanders will face off with the Sabres in Buffalo, while the Rangers simultaneously take on the Lightning in Tampa Bay. Later on, the Devils will drop an 8 p.m. puck in Dallas against the Stars. More transparency trickled in yesterday regarding the status of Yankees ace Gerrit Cole. Not great news for Yankees fans, but it also could be much, much worse, and it might get there eventually. Cole will be shut down for at least a month, probably 2 to 3 realistically, meaning he'll miss opening day and then some. And visited specialist Dr. Neil Etrage in Los Angeles yesterday for further testing on his right elbow. By all accounts, the reigning AL Cy Young Award winner is not out of the woods in terms of Tommy John surgery just yet, as we await to hear a hopefully final diagnosis and a positive one from Dr. L. Etrage. And finally, in NFL offseason news yesterday, the Indianapolis Colts and veteran quarterback Joe Flacco have reached agreement on a one-year deal worth up to $8.7 million. So comeback player of the year has his new squad. Wide receiver Calvin Ridley is signing a four-year $92 million contract, including $50 million guaranteed with the Tennessee Titans. The Washington Commanders continue to turn over the NFL's worst statistical defense, adding eight-time Pro Bowl linebacker Bobby Wagner yesterday at a one-year deal worth $8.5 million. And the Las Vegas Raiders released quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo and former Pro Bowl slot receiver Hunter Renfrow yesterday, the first day of the NFL's new league year. So they open up some cap space there. That is your sports Noah, man. I'm Justin Ehlich on 77 WABC.
Let's catch you up on some of the big stories of the morning. Sometimes you get into this news cycle where it's just the same kind of story over and over again, and we're in that right now. It's body parts. I feel like almost every day I could do this story. Of course, you have those four people who are walking the streets of Long Island after they're accused of chopping up a man and a woman. How they're walking the streets is sort of amazing in itself. And then you have a guy up in the Bronx. They found body parts in his apartment. And then go down to Wall Township, New Jersey. They wanted to be part of this story. Portions of skeletal remains located on a property. This was on Narrowsome Road in Wall Township. The family had come in and bought this parcel of property and were going to build a new home on it. And they were so excited, actually, about doing this that they invited some neighbors over, their new neighbors, to put the first shovel in the ground.
I happen to be working in my yard. I'm an avid gardener. So they came over with a shovel painted gold. They came with balloons and champagne. So they invited me over to celebrate. So I went over there, had a glass of wine.
And this was Sunday.
This was Sunday. And they said the builder will be here tomorrow starting to dig the foundation.
Yeah, so the builder shows up on Monday and they start to dig, and that's when they find these human remains.
I find it very sad. I really do. The one in particular, you could really tell it was bigger. And then the other two were covered. They were all covered by dirt, but the other two, you knew what they were by the shape.
So the medical examiner now going to have to do a forensic analysis, try to figure out who this is, how long those bodies have been there.
I really feel sorry for the couple that are building their dream house. And I feel for the contractors You know, he expected to be here 3, 4, 5 months building this house.
So police haven't given us a whole lot of details, but I think it's just because they don't have a lot of details. Now, like, how long have the remains been buried there? Medical examiner will probably fill us on some of that.
It's probably going to, you know, put it on hold for a while, I would imagine. I'm sure it's going to be a, you know, a crime scene.
I was hoping that it was a normal burial. You know, people used to bury their dead in their yards. And that's what I was hoping for.
And it could be that is the case. Investigators are looking at another idea that maybe it was once a native burial ground, which would not be surprising for New Jersey. They've come upon those every once in a while. Out on Long Island, the wife of accused Gilgo Beach serial killer, she's speaking out months after he was arrested in connection to the deaths of the so-called Gilgo Four. Asa Ellerup, who filed for a divorce from Rex Yorman just days after he was arrested last July, releasing a statement last night through her attorney saying that she maintains that Rex is not capable of the crime he's accused of. Now, we had heard that she had gone to visit him in jail a few times, and maybe that's part of the conversation they're having, is that he's saying that he's not guilty of these crimes, and she says she's willing to listen to the evidence and withhold judgment until the end of the trial. She goes on to say, I've given him the benefit of the doubt, as we all deserve. Huerman, of course, has been charged in the deaths of 4 sex workers whose remains were uncovered in burlap along the desolate Ocean Parkway near Gilgo Beach. Ellerup was married to Huerman, I guess they essentially still are, for 27 years. So in the statement, she, of course, then expressed sympathy for the victims and their families, saying that nobody deserves to die in that manner. But she says she believes her husband, at least for now, is innocent. That as prosecutors continue to release just the slew of evidence that they say pegs Huerman as the man who's behind these 4 murders, and that they took place, every one of them, when the family, the Huerman family, I assume the wife and kids are out of town. So the wife coming out defending her husband, or her strange husband, I guess we have to call him. Awful moment in East Elmhurst, Queens yesterday. This was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. A guy in a 2005 black Nissan Titan XE truck making a very fast left turn onto 31st Avenue, and he slams into an 8-year-old, kills him, into his brother as well, injures him. A lot of eyewitnesses.
She shook. She screamed too much. She screamed too much. And the scream for the boys, that's very bad. See everything.
The 2 boys were walking with a woman who we can only assume was their mother. We couldn't get confirmation of that, but police say it was just awful.
Being my mayor, I mean, especially when I saw the mother, I was thinking about the little boy, he lost his life. And also, the brother, probably 10 years, also his life is...
Yeah, so people just devastated. You know, you can imagine there's a lot of people out because it was such a beautiful day who witnessed this awful hit. The driver was taken into custody. So far, no charges have been filed against him. City Council Speaker Adrian Adams delivering her State of the City yesterday, pledging to make New York City more affordable for New Yorkers.
The situation is dire. We are losing working and middle-class families who are leaving New York at the fastest rate of any New Yorkers. What this tells us is that as a government, we are not fulfilling our duty to New Yorkers.
The address comes as the City Council and Mayor's Office have been continually disagreeing on policy matters in recent months. Despite that, Adrian Adams did not directly blame the mayor for any of the city's issues during that address. The famed British Airways Concorde that used to be atop the Intrepid, you may not have noticed, but they took it away for months to rehab it. And today it's actually going to sail up the Hudson to be returned to the Intrepid about 8 o'clock this morning. Here's one of the people who worked on recoding the jet and fixing it up.
It was the fastest commercial aircraft, right? Technology at the time was state of the world.
So it was taken away from a Brooklyn shipyard yesterday, moved to Jersey City last night. This morning, it'll sail past the Statue of Liberty, the World Trade Center, Hudson Yards, some West Side landmarks. It makes it back to Pier 86 about 8 a.m.
Should be relatively easy. Good, good day. Looks like it's going to be good weather conditions, and people love it. 150,000 visitors a year might go through it.
Mia, the Concorde, of course, long known as the fastest commercial aircraft in the world, arrived at the museum back in 2003, has become a huge attraction there. Tours of the Concorde at the Intrepid were set to resume come April 4th. And it's not the kind of after-school activity you expect from a child, but a 10-year-old Shoreham, Long Island boy drove his parents' Ford Expedition for 30 minutes. The joyride started about 4:15 Tuesday afternoon at the boy's home on Briarcliff Road.
That's pretty bold.
Yeah.
I am amazed that he knew how to drive.
I just think it's incredible that he would even have the know-how to do it.
Now, here's the amazing part. It ended when the tire blew out on the William Floyd Parkway near Whiskey Road. The boy, thankfully, was not hurt. He was taken to the hospital for evaluation, but a lot of his neighbors surprised that he seemed to know how to drive.
If he got away with it without being injured, I would say that's a blessing.
Don't know how they got a hold of a car to go down any sort of highway or road, but I'm just happy everything seems like he's fine.
Yeah, that's the good part. Police investigating how the boy got the keys or if the parents should be blamed.